will have his way every time that I stand to preach. I want the Lord to have his way. If he doesn't have his way, and it's for me, it'll be a mess. But if it comes from the Lord, even in my weak way, I pray that it'll honor him and glorify him. That's what we desire each and every time we try to stand and preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4, and the 9th verse. It says, "For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer. Being defamed, we entreat, we are made as filth of the world, and are of the offscouring of all the things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, by ye fellow followers of me, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness?" If we could take for a lesson text tonight, it would be that 10th verse, "For we are fools in Christ's sake." And a lot of times we hear the word fool, and if I were to call one of you all a fool tonight, you probably wouldn't think very highly of me for me saying that. Typically we hear the word fool and we get a little bit out of shape about it. It's kind of a derogatory term in our everyday slang usage today. So a lot of times if I were to, and I'm going to title this tonight, "We Are Fools." But I'm glad tonight to know that I am a fool for Christ's sake. You know, as I began to think about what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth here, if you'll remember, there were many times that people were persecuted for serving the Lord. People down through the ages of time have always suffered for serving the Lord. It has never mattered what they did. They have always suffered for things that they tried to do for God. It's no different today in 2016. People will always, always, always have something to say about the service for God. They will always have something to say about what we do and how we go about doing it. And maybe tonight people look at us and they would say, "Well, they're fools." As I left Sister Stella's house this afternoon, I looked across the road there and I thought, you know, if they're looking outside and they see me in this suit and this tie, they're going to wonder, well, I wonder where he's going. Maybe in their minds they think, well, maybe he's going back to church. You know, a lot of people tonight would look at going to church on a Sunday night as foolish. Well, I went on Sunday morning, so I don't have to go back tonight. There's a lot of people that are cutting out, and you know that I've said this a lot of times, people are cutting out their Sunday night and their Wednesday night service because they think that serving God has a finite time on it. There's a time and a place on Sunday morning that you can do that. There's a lot of people tonight that will never come back on a Sunday night because they think that they can serve the Lord whenever they want to. And that's not necessarily our message tonight. But you know, there's a whole lot of people that think that we as God's people are foolish. And y'all want to go one step further with that. There's a whole lot of people that believe the preaching of the cross is foolish. You know, you can teach almost anything. I can stand behind this book board and some of the people that come here, I might be able to push off some things that may be true or not true. There's a whole lot of things that people teach in this world that we live in that there's no substance to. There's no satisfactory facts to back them up. You know, tonight as we preach the true counsel of God, there's always, 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 and there must be, I'll add that in there, there must be some kind of basis for the doctrines that we preach.
But there's a whole lot of people tonight that teach a whole lot of things, and they're not backed up by what the Lord says in His Scriptures. But you want to know tonight, there's a whole lot of people that will teach things that are wrong, and people will follow them because they sound good. And they look at us and they say, well, you old-time Baptist, well, you're foolish for standing for the old-time way. That's a foolish thing to do. We live in a modern world, so you take your religion and you move it into the modern ages. Well, that's foolish to not do that, people would say. Well, why don't you adhere to the things of the world? The Bible says to not be like the world. And I'm going to say tonight, if we are fools for Christ's sake, what is the rest of the world who does not adhere to what God would have for them to do? While Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, he said, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. And he was talking about those that had been saved and put in the Lord's church and were trying to live like they weren't a part of the Lord's church. That were trying to say, I'm a follower of Christ in name only, but that's the only way that I'm going to follow the Lord. You know, those that serve God, and they serve God diligently. And most of you all, if I could say, you just pick out one person that has influenced your life tonight so much that you can look back and say, that person had a testimony, or they preached, or they sang, and they really influenced me to serve the Lord. There's probably one person tonight, every single one of us, could say that has influenced us to serve the Lord. And you know those people tonight, maybe they're dead, maybe they're gone, maybe they're still living. If you were to ask them, have you ever suffered persecution for the things that you've done, the things that you believe in, I believe they would probably say yes. God's church, God's people, have always suffered for the things that they have done. He says, for I think that God hath set forth us to the apostles last, as we were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. You know, in Roman times and times many, many decades, years, millenniums past, why, a common thing to do was to take men of God and to put them in a big arena and have them to fight until the death. Why, it was a spectacle to do that. It was something they liked to see. People wanted to see God's people. They wanted to see men of God die for their causes. They wanted to see them back out of what they were doing. I guarantee you tonight, if any of those men had denounced what they believed, they would have said, well, guess what? You don't have to go in there and do this. But you know, there were a lot of times that men were sent in and they had one opportunity to get out, and that was to kill the other person. There was a whole lot of persecution that took place. You just think about tonight all of the things that are in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, the Trail of Blood. Why, people died for this way that we believe in. If that's foolish tonight, then I guess I'm a fool for Christ. I guess if that's foolish, I guess then I'm a fool. If that's what it takes to be a follower of Christ, is to be persecuted, to have my life taken, I guess I'm a fool for standing with God. For I would rather stand with God than to stand with the tribulation of men. Why, the Bible teaches us, and I could find the Scripture for you if I had to, but it says, for we ought to obey God rather than men. When we start obeying men rather than God, we are in trouble. This world wants to say, why, you foolish bunch of people, just give up your God. Just give it up. You know, these apostles, he says, for their sin and last. They're the spectacle. They're the ones that are preaching the gospel. They're the ones that are doing these signs, and they're the spectacle. Why, today, if I'm going to make a point out of something, I'm going to pick the ones that are doing it the loudest. When I was in school, if you were doing something bad, and you were the loudest one doing it, you were the one that got singled out for it. When you're traveling down the interstate, the one that's speeding the most, they're the one that gets singled out. And I'm going to say today, those that have served Christ and those that have done it diligently, a lot of times they will be singled out for the way that they live. But there's no way that I would turn my back on what God has done in my life, because He's been far better to me than I've ever been to Him. He says, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. It says, in labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Now you just think about that tonight. He says, I guess we are fools for Christ's sake. But you that are standing with God are supposedly supposed to be standing with God and are not living in that way. Well, I guess you're the wise one. We're weak, but I guess you're strong. You're honorable, but we are despised. And I'm going to say tonight, there was an element of sarcasm in that just a little bit. He was actually saying, you're not really strong and you're not really honorable and we're not really despised. We're really strong and we're really not fools. I heard a man say this one time. It's in a revival service, I believe, at Drake's Creek. And it's been many, many years ago. And he said, you know, he'd been going through his testimony and he said, you know, for a lot of years I tried everything instead of trying the Lord. I went through life trying everything that it had to offer me, and then I tried Jesus. And he said, everybody that I used to be with, everybody that I used to know, said, well, you've taken the easy way out. Bless their hearts, they have no idea. They said, you know, you've turned your back on the way that you used to live. Thanks be to God, that man did turn his back on the way that he used to live. The man now's been a pastor of a number of churches, and he's done a lot of good for a lot of people and a lot of churches down through the ages of time. And I'm glad that there are still people that even though they've made bad choices, God can still take them and He can still use them for His honor and His glory. You think about that tonight. Think about Saul of Tarshish. Why, today that we know of him as Paul. Paul persecuted Christians. We realize that tonight. We know that to be truth. Paul took Christians and he done a lot of terrible things to them. And then God got a hold of him one day. Got a hold of him on the road to Damascus, and you know the story. The Lord spoke to him. He says, Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? For you know that it is hard to kick against the pricks. You know, the world today, they're looking at us and they're saying, those people are foolish. While they're meeting tonight and they could be doing something else. They're meeting tonight and they're still worshiping a God that's been long gone. Oh, they don't know the half of it. I told you this morning about the scripture over in Hebrews, for it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Those people will fall in the hands of a living God. We will fall in the hands of a living God. But as the scriptures this morning, I believe it was in Sunday school, it says that you've been laid in the balance and you've been found wanting. There'll come a day when those people will get their reward for persecuting God's church. And I believe the scriptures tell me that He will laugh in their calamity. And you may say, preacher, you say that God will laugh in the things that they've done. I'm going to say tonight, if they have lived their life standing against God, if they've lived their life standing against the church, standing against what God has prepared for us to go out and teach, brothers and sisters, He has no choice but to laugh in their demise. Because He's given them ample opportunity to seek Him out. He's given them all the time in the world to come to Him, and they have not done it. You want to talk about a bunch of fools tonight? There's a whole lot of foolish people. And I tell you this all the time, I can look out and I can see the many cars that drive down Nolensville Road, and it breaks my heart. I wonder sometimes, as maybe I'm sitting here through the week and I'm studying, or even if I'm not here, I'll be driving down the road and I'll think, well, I wonder how many people today looked over and saw the old church building. I believe it was the second sermon that I ever preached here. I believe I titled it The Old Lighthouse. I've thought many times how many people have driven by here and have looked at the old sign and they've wondered about what we believe as a church. There was a guy that stopped in, it was back last year, and he stopped in and he said, I have been passing this church for years and years and years. And he said, this morning I was on my way to church, and he said, I just stopped. He said, after all the years, I just wanted to see what it was like here. I wonder how many times people pass by this old building and say, I just wonder what they have. I just wonder what they teach. Brothers and sisters, I just wish they would stop. Brothers and sisters, we need to be reaching them. They may think that we are foolish. I'm going to say tonight, and I'll get to some scriptures in a few moments of time if the Lord will be our helper. And they may not like the way that I preach. The way that I preach is not the norm anymore for a lot of places. Even in our own churches, it's not the norm. To speak up and exhort the Word of God to tell the world. And I believe the Bible says to cry out the things that God has done. I believe that Paul cried out. I believe that Peter cried out. I believe his apostles told the world the message that he had. And they may think it's foolish. But brothers and sisters, we still have to teach what God has given us. As an old-time Baptist church, we believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. We believe once you're married forever. The Bible speaks of being married unto one person forever. He speaks of that. And you know, today people would look at us and they'd say, well, that's just an old-fashioned belief. While the world might say that men and men can get married and women can get married, and if that's what they believe, they are foolish for their beliefs. If they would just look and see what the Bible really says, if they would just look and see what the Scriptures say about things, they would realize that they have been looking at things through a foolish lens. People look at us and they say, why, you still believe that you've got to seek the Lord. Amen. We've still got to seek the Lord for salvation. People say, well, it's just not that way anymore. You tell me in the Scriptures where God has changed. Show me where it says God will change. I'll show you a Scripture that it says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed, and He will not change. Therefore, what we teach and what we preach, it cannot change, and it must, will not change. You may say, preacher, that's not grammatically correct. I'm going to say must, will not change, because it must not change. And I'm going to say tonight, as long as we hold fast the things that God has prepared for us, it will not change. But it can change. If God's people are not staunch in what they believe, if they don't stand on the true doctrines that God has for them, they can change. And we don't need that tonight. Why, people say we're foolish because of the way that we worship. And you all know how I feel about that. I believe if the Spirit's in it, I believe God will be pleased with it. I believe God is pleased with what we do at Mount Calvary Church. I believe that. But I didn't think that He wasn't pleased with it. Brothers and sisters, we would all be on our knees tonight seeking the way that God would have for us to worship. But I know what the Bible says about it. And it says to worship Him in the Spirit and in the truth. Because why? Because God is a Spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him that way. If they don't, it's not true worship. It's not of God. But people would say, oh, you're foolish. You've got to have this and you've got to have that. You've got to have the new fangled worship bands and all of that. People today are looking on the outside instead of looking on the inside. They're looking at things in a very, very, very foolish way. I believe, and I don't know who said this. I don't know if it was here or where, who, it may have been somebody from this church that said it's not about what we get from our church, but it's about what we can do for our church. I believe very much today that people in the modern way of thinking believe it's all about what the church can provide for you. Brothers and sisters, this church is here to serve the Lord to the best of our ability. It's for no other reason but to seek the ways of God, to serve the Lord, to see lost people saved. That's why we're here. We are here to serve the God. And you know what? I believe you all would agree with this, but when we serve God and we've been saved by the grace of God, there are benefits to that. There are benefits to being a member of the Lord's church, and I believe that. I believe very much there are benefits. I believe if you've never united with an old-time missionary Baptist church, I believe you cannot truly enjoy your salvation until you have united with His body. I believe that. You all know how I feel tonight about the universal church. We've studied it. But the world runs rampant on it to say we're all one body. And I don't believe that. I believe that there are many bodies that God has. But there is one type of church that He set up. And that is the missionary Baptist way. I believe it's the old time Baptist church. And sometimes I get caught up on those words. If we say old time or old fashioned, it sounds like that we're stuck in a way of thinking. We're stuck in a realm of thinking. We're stuck in old time ways or old fashioned ways. Brothers and sisters, the way that we serve God, the doctrines that we believe, they're not from the 1800s or the 1700s. They're what the Scriptures teach. They're what the men of God wrote down when they penned the Bible. They're what Jesus taught when He lived here. So if that makes us old time or old fashioned, I guess I am. When people say that about me, I'm thankful for it. And they may say, well, that's foolish. But we are fools for Christ's sake. If anybody ever says I'm foolish, I'll just have to say, bless your heart, amen. Because if it means being a fool for Christ, then I am. I don't know where I preached this, but I preached a sermon one time. There's a reason that we take this so seriously. And there is a reason that we take this so seriously. Because brothers and sisters, I don't know, and I'm sure you all do, but the way that we believe, the way that we teach, it's not popular anymore. Don't know that it has ever been largely popular, but the things that we teach and we preach, the world would say, well, that's just nonsense. And I want to read for you over in 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. And these are very familiar verses. I believe that you've probably read over them, seen them a number of times. 1 Corinthians in the 18th verse says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But in them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And abase the things, bring low the things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, or things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now Paul was telling the Corinthian church, he told them, and it's plain talk, and I believe, my granddad says this all the time, and I believe it to be the truth, plain talk is easily understood. Sometimes you just got to tell people just exactly what the truth is. And I don't believe in sugarcoating anything. I believe if you're going to tell a bunch of people something, if you're going to preach the truth, you just might as well preach it the way that God has for us. A whole lot of people today that want to sugarcoat everything. They want to tell you what you want to hear. But it says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are lost. You think about that tonight. There are a lot of people, and you know that I've said this many times, there are a lot of people that don't even believe that God even exists. Therefore, they don't believe that He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross. You know what we teach it sometimes sounds like a fairy tale. Why, we were not there, we didn't experience it, but the Bible teaches through faith we believe. Therefore, we've got to have faith that it happened. And I'm going to say tonight what we teach is not a fairy tale. I believe that it really and truly happened. I believe it took place just like the Scriptures say that it did. But the world tonight might say, well, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Well, you know, there's people tonight that believe you don't even have to come to church. They say, well, I can stay at home and I can do this or I can do that, and I can still get the same principles out of the Scriptures that you can by preaching. And I'm going to say this tonight. The Scriptures tell me in Romans, it says, for the gospel must be preached. The preacher must preach the gospel. I believe that there must be some preaching that takes place. I believe it's got to go out to a lost and a dying world. And if the world takes it as foolishness, then bless their hearts. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
The preaching of the cross is the power of God. I've quoted this Scripture many times, and Paul said you must preach in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be done that way. And when we preach it that way, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. I believe it's demonstrated through a preacher that gets in touch with Him and follows Him. And I'm going to say tonight, there's nothing about me that makes me a good preacher. It says that He didn't call those out that were wise or mighty or noble, but He says those that I have called, they're equipped to do the work that I've given them, if you'll read the Scriptures. He didn't call a lot of men that had a lot of things. You think about old Moses. Moses had a problem with his speech, but he was called out to prophesy, called out to lead a nation, and he did that. Had a speech problem, had a way that he talked that may have not, and he was very one of those people, got in front of a congregation of people. Many, many times the Lord would tell him to go, and he wouldn't be willing to do that. Him and Aaron, they struggled together, they labored together with Israel. So sometimes the way that a preacher preaches to the world might seem foolish. It may do that. I've told you all this, and I still catch flack for it today. I was preaching one night and got to preaching about Job and fell flat on my face in the altar at Eastside Missionary Baptist Church in Franklin, Kentucky. And some people might say that's foolishness. And to some people it may be, but when God gets a hold of people, sometimes the things that we do, they may seem foolish. But when God is in it, He will bless those things. He'll bless the preaching of the cross. He will bless that. He'll bless those that will submit themselves to Him. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring nothing to the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? But I want to get to the 25th verse, and I'm not going to try to keep you very much longer. It says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. You think about that tonight. Even at God's very worst, He's still better than we are. Even at God's lowest, He's still better than anything that you and I can do. There's no way tonight, and even my best, I can match anything that God can do. There have been some times in preaching the gospel that sometimes you get in such a way you feel like that you're almost as close to God as you can be. Just without leaving this body, you almost feel that way. There are times that when God fills you up, you just feel like you've just reached the realms of glory. It says, because the foolishness of God, and we remember the preaching of the cross, to them that perish foolishness, but the foolishness of God is wiser than man. The weakness of God is stronger than man. And I'm going to say tonight, the weakness of God is not very weak. Not very weak. I preached to you this morning about His power. I don't believe my God is a weak God. I believe He's a strong God. He's an able God. He's a capable God. And I'm glad that it's that way. It would be a sad thing to serve a God who didn't know what He was doing. If you follow me very long, if you've ever followed me in a car, and I'm taking you somewhere neither of us have ever been, pretty quickly I'm probably going to get you lost pretty good. But God knows everything. He's the leader of this entire world. He's the leader of this church. If you've been saved by the grace of God, He's the one that is supposed to be leading you. And He's never gotten one person lost. Not one person. Now, sometimes as God's people, we've gone off the course and we've gotten our own selves in a conundrum or a situation that maybe we think we can't get out of, but God has never led anybody astray to anything that would get them in a predicament. He's always led them into the righteousness of Himself. You know, the preaching of the cross, I've watched people in the 3 years that I've been preaching. I've had the opportunity to stand in front of people that I never thought I would stand in front of. I preached in front of friends that when I was in high school, we didn't talk very much. There was a guy that came here back last year. Me and him went to high school together, and I may have talked to him about three times. I never dreamed in my million years of living in this world that I'd ever be standing in front of him in a church in Nashville, Tennessee, preaching the gospel to him. Never thought that. There are many times that I've stood before congregations of people, and people have been in churches, and you know, intellectually they're very smart people. And you know, today people want to figure this whole salvation game out. They think that they can analyze it or fix it all up and understand why God does what He does. I'm going to tell you, if you spend your life doing that, you will be crazy before you know what's going on. Me and Colin have had the discussion. Sometimes we just have to say, I don't know why He does what He does, but I know that what He does is right, and therefore it's sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. Sometimes we don't understand, but God does. God knows all about it. But people will try to systematically, mathematically, scientifically figure it all out. And the only thing that I know to tell this world tonight, and it doesn't matter, and I'll say this, it doesn't matter the way that the person preaches, as long as they're doing it in a way that pleases God. If it pleases God, then it'll please the congregation they're standing in front of. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be, sometimes people can get a little too intellectual for people. Sometimes people can get a little too simpleton for people. Brothers and sisters, when we preach what God has given us, it will be sufficient for those that are there. I believe the Scriptures teach us to preach in such a way that a child can even understand. But I also believe sometimes we've got to preach things that have got some substance to them so that there's some meat in there. But I do believe this. I believe very much that there's a whole lot of people out there tonight that are trying to figure this whole game out. And the only thing that I know to tell anybody tonight is it's through and by the grace of Christ Himself that we are who we are. It's by His grace. And Moses said that. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm a missionary Baptist tonight because the Lord saved my soul. I'm not a missionary Baptist just because He saved my soul, but I'm a missionary Baptist because He saved my soul and then He led me into His church. And that's what makes me a missionary Baptist. Now, I could preach for another hour and a half on what makes a missionary Baptist, but I won't put you through that tonight. But I will say this. The things that we teach, the doctrines that we teach, if they seem foolish to this world, they'll just have to seem that way. Paul made the statement, he says, for we are fools for Christ's sake. And if that's what I have to be in this world, if that's what the world has to label me, then by all means, let me be a fool for Christ's sake. Because I would rather be counted among the Lord and His counsel than to be counted among the counsel of the wicked. I'm glad tonight to know that I've been saved by the grace of God, that I've been baptized into the Lord's church, and I can go a step further than I guess most of you all tonight. My granddad that's here tonight could say this as well, but that I've been called to the ministry and been able to serve Him. There's nothing greater than that tonight. You know, I tell people all the time, and I'm going to close, I promise. People ask, they'll say, well, what do you do? Well, I'll say, well, I'm the pastor of Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. And they'll say, well, where'd you go to school at? Well, I go to Western Kentucky University, but I'm not anywhere near a divinity degree or anything of that nature. People say, well, you've got to have one to preach. No, you don't. No, you don't. God can use the simple things to confound the wise. It doesn't take that. You know, I believe in getting the best education that you can get. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to studying the Word of God, you can study every book, every anthology, every book in the library that's on about the Scriptures, and you will never figure it all out. But I'll tell you what the best way to study is. It's through Jesus Christ Himself and His Holy Spirit. When we do that, we will unlock
secrets, mysteries in here. And the Bible says that it is the mysteries of God. When we do that, when we study this thing out, boy, it'll confound the wise, those that have been saved, and it will draw men unto repentance. May God bless you. It's our prayer for fools. Let us be fools for Christ's sake. While we stand and while we sing.